everybody, and welcome back to the CEO Mindset Podcast. I'm Andrea Patrick, your host, and you know, over here, we constantly evolve and stay open to failing forward because we know that it's in that forward failing that we're that much closer to our success. I have an amazing guest with me today. Her name is Janice Vincent. You know that I have pulled many people from my Leadership Allen program to be a guest on the show, and she is just as exceptional as the rest, if not, you know, with the information she's bringing to the table, even more prepared to share with us how to stay encouraged, how to be empowered and educate ourselves so that we can show up as the excellent version of ourselves and the best, most possible when we actually do show up. Janice has done her career climb in a very unconventional way. And I think it's going to be very helpful for some of you to hear about her climb, but also as an African-American woman in a C-suite space, she's going to give us and enlighten us on how she got there, the things that she does to maintain her sanity, and quite a few other things given the questions that I've shared with her. So let me give you a little bit more about who she is, and then we will bring her into the room and she can give us a little bit more. All right, let me read for you. Janice Vincent is a mission-driven leader at the intersection of content, community, and connection. As Vice President of Content at the International Legal Technology Association, she guides a global team in delivering innovative, impactful digital experiences for legal tech professionals. With more than 20 years in the industry, Janice brings deep expertise in knowledge management, strategic execution, and thought leadership, bridging technical excellence with human-centered insight. Beyond her professional role, Janice is a champion for future leaders. She mentors young women through STEAM-focused lenses, and she nurtures curiosity, confidence, and ambition. Since 2013, she's helped shape many young athletes through her work with the Allen Sports Association, coaching, leading, and inspiring from the field to the boardroom. Now serving as the ASA board president, she continues to cultivate a strong foundation of youth empowerment and community impact. At the heart of it all, Janice is fueled by family and purpose. Together with her husband, Shannon, and her daughters, Jessica and Jocelyn, she remains dedicated to service, leadership, and leaving every space better than she found it. Hello, and welcome back to the CEO Mindset Podcast. I'm super excited to have you with me on this video episode. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to my YouTube channel right now so that you never miss an upload of our podcast. Now, let's clap our hands for the amazing Janice Vincent. All right, guys. So as promised, the amazing Janice Vincent is here with us. And you know how we do over here on the CEO Mindset Podcast. We get all the good stuff, the accolades, the what makes her so special to be on the podcast out of the way early. And then once we get them on the page, we ask them about the real stuff. So Janice, tell us something that may surprise us about you that was not in your bio.
Well, when I was younger, I was a part of a four-girl singing group, and we toured the entire East Coast going to various colleges and things of that nature. So, yeah.
Girl, I spent a whole year with you in leadership and did not know you could sing, girl.
Leave a little something to the imagination. Just shock somebody.
You got to hold a little something back. Give them, you know, you got to drip it. Drip the awesome. Drip the awesome. I love that. All right, let's dive right in because I want everybody to receive the benefit from you like I have over the past year. And I was reading this article that really made me think about some of our past conversations in leadership. And I thought it would be a good idea to kind of go through some of the things that this article talked about and get your thoughts on it and your feedback. And guys, the article is called 11 Helpful Strategies for Navigating Office Politics. And I wanted to tackle this subject matter because, as you all know, this season on the podcast, we are talking about how I can empower you, encourage you, and educate you to show up with excellence. Because given our climate, we can't show up mediocre anymore. We have to show up as our best selves, showing off our talents and skills so that there's no denying that A, we are the best person for the job. So this is what this season is all about, and I'm pulling in the big dogs, and Janice is such a big dog. Okay, so I like to go through these strategies and look at them through the lens of an African-American woman and get your thoughts. I told you the name of the article, 11 Helpful Strategies for Navigating Office Politics. So when it comes to office politics, is it safe to give the benefit of the doubt? And if it depends, when would you say, should we do this?
By design, I always like to give the benefit of the doubt. I'm somebody who looks at the world as the glass is half full versus half empty. So I do like to start off in that vein. However, if you have been in a situation with a coworker or someone that you're working on a project with previously, and they have shown their true colors, I'm also of the affliction where I say, believe what you see the first time. That is usually how somebody's going to carry themselves.
Mm-hmm. When they show you who they are, believe them. Mm-hmm.
The first time.
Absolutely. So as someone who's been in corporate for some time, what does authenticity look like for people of color, given we often get criticized for being like too aggressive, too argumentative, or, you know, my favorite, the angry Black woman?
I think being authentic really holds value and weight with each individual separately. My level of authenticity is going to be uniquely different than someone else's. They may have had an experience of going all the way through a certain level of college and being a part of a sorority. They maneuver a little bit differently, right? You may have someone who has never gone to college, but has all of the certifications within their field. And so their level of authenticity is going to be uniquely different. I just always say, be true to yourself. You know, and I think that at every stage of your career, that truth is going to be a little bit different because your reflection of self is going to be different in how you grow. Speak up, you know, don't be afraid to feel uncomfortable and still show up as your most authentic self. But most importantly, show up. Don't come not being prepared. Don't think you can just intrude on any conversation because of your name and because of who you know. Think that you bring value. Your value add is always going to be in your preparation. So I always just say, be authentically prepared mm-hmm. for any situation that can pop up. Yeah.
I like that. And I think just an aside, in our interactions in leadership, I think that you have such knowledge, but not just like smart knowledge, but also the emotional intelligence knowledge, because we've had conversations where we talked about different issues, and the way you tackle an issue always makes me think, wow, I should have thought that through a little bit better, or maybe that wasn't the best response. And I'm mentioning this because it was an authentic moment maybe for me where I would have handled something a certain way, but because of maybe your experience or whatever, something that you've dealt with, you knew how to make it a bit more diplomatic, but get the same response or the same outcome. And I think that it's important to tell people here with the idea of authenticity, because authenticity gets a bad rap. You know, authenticity, you know, well, I'm just going to be me. You know, you can't tell me I can't be myself, you know. But I think being authentically prepared was a great phrase. And I think it encompasses the idea that authenticity does not negate personal growth. And it's important for you to be able to read a room and understand the atmosphere, the climate in which you are being authentic, and then knowing how to adjust that authenticity to fit that moment. Because, I mean, I am who I am. However,
you are a treat. Yes.
However, there are instances where me being in that state of myself is too much. And I have to be able to read the room in that regard. And I think what you're saying is absolutely right. That authentic preparation in that phrase is, where are you going? Who is around? What is at stake? What is your purpose and intention in being in that area? And how can you, what I call, manage the volume of your personality. How can you manage the volume of your personality to make sure that your emotional intelligence is in full swing and you can actually achieve the goal that you set out to in the space. Would you agree?
100%. I think it's always important for people to understand who you show up as for the version of your business is probably going to be uniquely different than how you show up as a sister or a daughter or a best friend or somebody who's interviewing for something different. You're still authentically yourself, right? But like you said, you learn how to turn up your personality, or, and I won't ever use the word dim, but I will say just turn it down a little bit so that it may not be as vibrant. Absolutely. You have to do that.
Yeah. Because I mean, when you're in different spaces, and before I even get to the next question, because this is bringing up points, because I mean, when we were in our leadership class, right, we were one of, I think by the end, one, two, four, was it four Black women?
I think it was four of us. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, so we're four Black women in a room full. It was a diverse room, but we were the only four Black women in the room. There were instances, I think, where all of us held back to some degree, conversations, everything that we could have said was not said. I recall being at the courthouse. I don't know if you were at the courthouse, but I remember feeling like there were like some real like conversation. Like I wanted to say some things, but I really had to manage myself. And I think it's easy for us to get in our own way by not identifying the, you know, what do you call it? What do you call it when you not measure, but you are, when you're trying to get your calibrate, when you calibrate, it's important for us to calibrate our personality because we can't always walk in rooms showing up as, like you said, the chick that would show up at the family reunion or the chick that would show up with the girlfriends for cocktails. And it's not code switching. It is being intentional and knowing that not everything is a party and there is a degree of professionalism that has to show up. Regardless, everybody has to do that. And, you know, I think this question about authenticity is important because we get it wrong sometimes, especially culturally. I've heard people say, well, you know, they just love me or leave me, or, you know, I'm not changing who I am just to do this, that, and the third. But I think what Janice is saying here and what I'm saying here is it's not a matter of changing who you are. It's understanding yourself well enough to know that you may need to adjust the vibrancy of who you are in various moments. Everyone doesn't appreciate your shine in every given moment. And so it's okay to give a glimmer and not blind people.
And I think sometimes too, I think people confuse leadership with showman and showwomanship, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes there is such a beauty in that leader that can command a room without ever saying a word, you know, but their feelings definitely get across. And I think it's important as you grow in whatever version of leader you are for that particular moment that you recognize the beauty and the strength that comes from those pregnant pauses or those quiet moments in your state of leadership. So you don't always have to run into a room screaming and yelling. Sometimes you walk in with a dignified quietness about you, but later on who you are is then revealed. And I think sometimes it comes into the strategy of whatever it is you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, you're dead on. And you do it so well. I cannot say it enough. When we were in leadership, we had conversations and I walked away feeling like, wow, she's mature, you know. She's got her stuff together. I probably sounded like a raccoon in there,
no,
but you know, but I really enjoyed our conversations. I really did. Okay. So let's get back to the questions. For those listening, can you share with us your idea of what active listening is and how important it is to navigating office politics successfully, especially for people of color?
Absolutely. One of the biggest things that we have when we talk about communicating is really, how do you listen? A lot of the times when you are in meetings or you're working within a group, everybody's just trying to put their best foot forward. And so you end up talking over each other. You end up thinking that you're finishing someone's sentences. And a lot of times there's an art to it when you can literally just sit in the stillness of the moment and let that person explain themselves, because inevitably you're going to have additional questions, right? Let them get their full thought across and then come through with the additional questions. But sometimes it's even more important to speak back what they just said. So it's like, so if I heard you correctly, right, this is what I heard you say. And it gives them an opportunity to expand. It gives them an opportunity to add a comma, right? It gives them an opportunity to add an entirely different viewpoint to it by asking them the question back again. So let me put this back in front of you. And sometimes you'll recognize that not only were you doing a good job at listening, but you gave the other individual an opportunity to explain it a little bit better or enhance their delivery. So it's a win-win. I think when we are looking at a situation from being a person of color, I challenge every woman of color in those moments to take the color out of the story. If you take the color out of the story, it just becomes a story. And if the story isn't clear, without ever bringing in the neck or the hand movements, you give the person the ability to feel safe, and then you give them an ability to speak. Okay, so this person is hearing me, but let me just add a little bit of extra color. And when you try and take the color of the person out of it, it changes the entire texture of the story.
You're absolutely right. I just did a podcast or a video episode. I get so confused. They all end up being videos. But and it was on the idea of courage and vulnerability. And it all stemmed from an article, a TED Talk that I watched Brené Brown do. And she was talking about the connection of courage and vulnerability. And I kind of paired that with, as you know, my husband and I are marriage ministry leaders. And one of the things that we talked about there as well was providing a safe space for the person to be vulnerable and have the courage to do or say the thing that needs to be said or done. And I think what you just said speaks to that. And if we do, sometimes it's hard to take the color out, right? Because you feel like the reason that you're even having the conversation in the first place is because there was some sort of slight of hand, something happened in the office politics that was not professional or it wasn't fair or whatever. And so if you're approaching it, I think that when we are, I call it standing on business and really showing up as our excellent selves, then what we will first do is what you said, is look at the situation for what it is. And if you are showing up excellent and you're doing what you're supposed to do, there shouldn't be any question about that. That should be undeniable. So now when you approach the situation, it's easier to take the color out of it because you don't want them to see color, because you want them to see the undeniable value that you are bringing to a situation, and you want them to make decisions based on that. And if we bring the color in, and like you said, roll neck, hand gestures, and we're like speaking kind of how we can do, it takes the focus off of the problem, off of the real reason that we're having this conversation, and it gives them a reason or something to point a finger to as to like, see, this is, you know, this is how, that type of thing. So when we are, again, this podcast, this season is all about empowering and encouraging. I want to empower listeners and encourage listeners to educate themselves on what they need to be able to walk into these situations like this, so we can actively listen and hear what the actual true challenge is. And then, like you said, when you're doing that, Janice, you ask the question, like, you, so if I'm understanding you correctly, you said blah, blah, blah. Not only does it give them a chance to clarify, but it maybe even give them an opportunity to think twice about if that's really the direction they want to go.
Give me one better than that. So when it comes to, and this is something that I deal with quite often, when you're in those rooms and you have those conversations, sometimes individuals will walk away with, oh my gosh, she was so aggressive. And the way that they explain it to someone else. So when you begin the conversation, when you start asking those questions back, because I want to know, what about my delivery? What were we talking about where you felt there was a level of aggression? Let me ask it back again, because then you take them to the root of where the problem may be, and it takes it away from the adjectives that can sound quite negative. let's put those to the side. Let's focus on the actual problem and let's make sure that we have the right resolution for it. If we get caught up in how you feel, a lot of the times it takes you away from the work. And so asking the questions takes an individual outside of their feelings and it puts them back to the analytical part where we can really have a full, true blown conversation, taking the feeling off the table. So those are some of the ways. Yeah, it's another way to kind of redirect the conversation in a way where it will flow better and you may get a better result to it versus someone trying to live in the land of feelings, because we all have those. They don't really resolve anything.
I know. So this isn't a question on the sheet, but I mean, it's obvious that you are speaking from a place of experience and firsthand knowledge. What have been some of your experiences? I feel women can, especially women of color, can learn from you in this moment, because so we run into this all the time. I'm not in corporate, but even as a business owner, I run into these situations. And I think it would be helpful to just hear kind of how you developed this ability, because I'm probably gonna say it 1,000 times between now and then, but I mean, this is really something that I've found quite impressive in your ability to do this, because you did it all last year. You were very, I don't want to use the term politically correct, but you were able to diffuse, I think, conversations that could have been more heated, or people could have felt some kind of way about how it was said. And even in, I'm not going to disclose the entire situation, but even in the situation where there was someone who could feel a little bit of, you know, energy from some of us, and just even your approach to that was quite professional, quite, you know, it was very seamless and smooth. It wasn't aggressive. It wasn't accusatory. It was, so how did you develop this skill? So were you born with it, girl?
I was not. I used a portion of my life that took me to the edge of what my reality was at that moment. And I used all the things that I learned in the most positive way possible. So I was a part of a narcissistic abuse relationship for well over 15 years. And in that process, you learn to react on emotion because you're so filled with so many emotions. Am I crazy? Am I thinking this is incorrect? You have all of this anger, you have all of this angst. And so when you respond, it's filled with emotion. It's buoyant, it's vibrant, it's angry, it's a little bit all over the place. And so I ended up reading so many books on healthy communication with the co-parent, learning how to not take the subtle cues and then dive in and be as antagonistic as the other one, trying to one up each other. Mm-hmm. And I think really being able to read, to have therapy, to kind of do the role play back and forth, how could I have been better? It provides you the ability to be extremely introspective. So when I do have various conversations, I will find myself afterwards really kind of, how could I have been better? How could I have delivered this maybe uncomfortable piece of information a little bit more palatably? And I really work on that. That is a goal set of mine, because I know how easy it is to use words that hurt. It's easy, right? When you're in a feeling mood, you can very easily find just the right word to hit that sweet spot and hurt. So I try to put as much, if not more, effort into how to use words that heal. It's a choice whenever you open up your mouth. And so my goal set is to, whether I'm delivering something that is positive or negative, try and find the most palatable way to do that.
That is good. That is some good stuff. I felt like we just had to pause there, because I think, at least in my experience, you listen to a podcast or you watch a video and they always tell you the what and they tell you the wow, but the why, but nobody really ever goes into the how. And it's easy for us to sit here and say, this is what you should do. Here are the situations in which doing that would be appropriate. But when you are filled with anger, or you are filled with fear, or you are filled with shame, like you said, the outward expression of that could be negative in the wrong time, at the wrong time. And so what you said is key, the idea of introspection. And it's so funny, and I get frustrated sometimes because I have an entire program on this. And just talking to people on this podcast, we always end up talking about the thing that is the ha I have the how over here. And it's like y'all are dealing with this. Okay, this is a problem. You have this problem. Stop pretending and let's fix the problem. Janice just told us how to fix the problem. It is introspection. You've got to understand yourself and then learn the tools. Do use the tools. Like you said, you did the reading, you found out how to communicate more effectively. This is all a part of that constantly evolving that we are talking about here on the podcast. Let's move on. So I guess this may go to that same point, like how do you remain neutral in the workplace and to be known for your shine? I think this you just really answered that question. If you have any more on that, we can certainly dive into it. But I believe kind of just what you said, it's introspection. You can only be a shine if you aren't dimming your own light or allowing other people to dim your light. And that happens when you aren't really clear about who you are and the value that you have, and feeling good about the fact that you're enough, regardless of the situation. But do you have anything else on that, like remaining neutral in the workplace?
I firmly believe this. I think that when you know self, you know the why behind what you do, right? And part of my goal set is to always move with a set level of intention. I really speak it out loud. I try and live it in my everyday practice, but I do more than that. I also try and bring other people up. So it may be through mentoring. It may be through just a conversation if someone is asking a question, or I may see something in someone else that they don't, and so you offer it. But I feel like even when it comes to like individuals, like you said, stealing your shine, let them sometimes, because it takes nothing away from who you are. It takes nothing away from what you brought to the table. The people that need to know what you've done, they know. And if you're looking for accolades 24/7, you're probably maneuvering for the wrong reasons,
Exactly. That's
you
so
know? And
good.
so you just have to just kind of let that go. I think you will always get the shine and the praise that you're supposed to receive. And at the end of the day, knowing what you've done, knowing what you've instituted, I think that that goes a long way. It really does. I think instead of everyone in the world needs to know what I did, why? Why at that moment? And you have to then really again be introspective. What is your thought process
Why do I
behind
need that
having to
validation
have it?
outside of myself?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. That's so good. All right, so I'm gonna ask you, let me see. Yeah, we don't need to ask that question, but I do want to get to this question. Is it possible to adopt a serving mindset without succumbing to the microaggression that often occurs in the workplace? And if yes, what are your thoughts on how? And I just did a podcast. My podcast that comes out today is on microaggression. So I'm very curious about this answer.
I think the most important thing I can say at any given moment is you have to have a very strong understanding of self. Once you have that, why do you lead this way? What is your goal set? What are your 5 to 10 year goals and plans? If you know what those are, the microaggressions, they're still going to come. But the best thing that I can say is you will have the answer to when those things come up. For instance, somebody who may not understand your direct responses or your direct asks may accuse you of being aggressive or, something of that nature. And in that instance, that's when you can throw back those questions to get to the root of the problem. Because 9 times out of 10, they may not feel comfortable with somebody who is extremely direct. That's usually what the problem is, you know? If you find that something isn't clear and someone is bringing up something else about you, again, being able to ask those questions because you know what your goals were, you know what your intentions were. And so just having a clear conversation usually will clear the air when those microaggressions turn into full an onslaught of just someone being aggressive. That's a completely different story. And there are HR ways to handle it.
I agree. Well, that's going to conclude the questions that I got from that particular article. Again, I will link the article down below so that you can read the article and get a better understanding of why I asked some of those questions and what the article says about them. And again, it was me wanting to get Janice's opinion on some of the thoughts that were in the article. And as I thought, she did a phenomenal job. So I appreciate you for that. Let's dive into some other questions here. That aren't related to the article, but I feel you can shed a lot of light on, help people with. How much of being able to capitalize on your strength in the workplace had to do with you stepping outside of your comfort zone? And tell us more about some of those outside of your comfort zone experiences.
I'd say probably about a good 75% of the accomplishments that I've had have come from being in an area of uncomfortability. I think when you are comfortable, you coast.
Become
you know I think when
complacent.
yeah you just you you do you do what's comfortable because you're in a routine. I think when you are pushed outside of your comfort zone, that's where you have to show up and prove, first of all, to yourself that you can do it and that you have all of the skill set that is necessary to complete the task, but more importantly, to set that level set of boundaries to individuals. Yes, you do know what you're doing. Yes, you can come to me and ask me questions. No, you cannot perform those microaggressions. That will just not happen. We will get to the bottom of it. So I think being in an uncomfortable situation puts me in a position where I challenge myself and I always end up growing.
Awesome. I think that's important. What you just said, the last piece is you always end up growing, because I think people do not put themselves out there and capitalize on their strengths. They may be very strong in an area, but they won't put themselves out there because they're afraid. And they're afraid that they may fail, but they never think about the opposite side of the coin. You may succeed, right? And even if you fail, you learn. And I think we should take that into account and not be afraid to go out there and put our, step out on faith, just do it.
You have to be okay with failure, right? I think people get it confused, right? Failing doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. Like you said, that's where those life lessons come in. That's
growth
where that
opportunity.
Growth comes in. That grit comes in that helps shape your personality. How do you pick yourself back up? Like, those are all super important qualities to have and in any form of leadership, because you're going to fail. Just prepare yourself.
Yeah,
you're going to
that's a given. That's
that,
a given.
That doesn't mean anything. The beauty is, how do you lift yourself back up? How
right.
do you rebound? What do you become after that failure? How do you then look at those life lessons and then apply it so that you don't repeat the same mistakes? There's so many different ways you can look at it in a
yeah.
positive light.
On the opposite side of the coin, being a leader, how would you look at someone coming in who may be afraid to, capitalize on their strengths for fear of failure? From the leadership perspective, you've got someone who's like that talented and they feel like they want to step up to the plate. They think they can handle the task. How would you handle, from a leadership perspective, providing for them that safe space for them to feel like they can come to you if they are struggling? Because I want to give the opposite side of that as well. We talk about it from a leader's perspective, like what we're afraid to fail as leaders. I think that's kind of, like you said, it comes with the territory, because we're the ones trying to guide the ship. Sometimes we might take it in the wrong direction. But what if we're guiding people and they're under us? They may have those same feelings, right?
Yep. I say this all the time. I have a few different women that I mentor right now. If it's something that you think about more than 50% of the time, something that you are reading up on, you are doing the work towards, you are that already, right? If you think about it, you are already there. You are doing the preparatory work.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is supposed to do that. If you are someone that's trying to get better at public speaking and you are recording yourself and you're in that mirror and you're working on, what do I do with my pregnant pauses? Where are my hands? You are that speaker already.
Mm-hmm.
If you are somebody who is into AI and you're doing your research and you're building your learning model and you are showing up at all of these different events, you are that already.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole thought process is, put your shoulders back and put your chin up. You are that. You are bringing something to the table. You are a part of that special sauce. Act like it. Act like it. Show up as that until you are asked to step into that role. And if you're not asked, continue knocking on those doors. Mm-hmm, continue showing up in those spaces where your voice can add and lend to the conversation. I mean, the only way to be. Mm-hmm. It's really that simple. Yeah,
that is so good. And it leads me into the next question, because it was about what tips would you give to someone listening who is seeking a growth opportunity in their organization? What tips can you give them? You said number one, like if you're thinking about it, you know, that means you are that. So I imagine one of those steps would be just to continue with that development of that skill set that you're interested in. But are there any other tips that you can give someone who is listening and maybe seeking growth opportunities and they're knocking at the door?
So a couple of things. If you're knocking at the door in your organization and there are no doors that are opening, don't let that deter you, right? Within every city, there are usually going to be a conglomerate of individuals that are like-minded. So they may be an association, whether it's a technological association, whether it's a professional development association, whether it's something where you can just get together and provide volunteer services to children. Whatever it is that is your preference, you're going to be able to find that in your community. Find ways outside of your organization to also get involved. It will always benefit you, because no matter what it is that you're learning how to work with people. You are learning how to be a part of a team. You are learning how to speak up and contribute. All of those things are always helpful in the leadership realm, right? There are always going to be times you're going to have to step up and speak, even when you don't want to. You may not be dressed the right way. You may feel uncomfortable for whatever reasons. You still stand up. You raise your hand. You participate. You will find ways to grow yourself sometimes outside of your organization. And sometimes your growth outside of your organization will be larger than inside the organization. So I always tell people, when you figure out who you are, when you figure out what your ethics are, make sure that you share it with as many people as possible. There's nothing wrong with you going outside and branding yourself on LinkedIn. There's nothing wrong with that. It will only make you an asset to your organization, mm-hmm. or an asset to that organization that has not yet knocked on your door to ask for your help.
I was getting ready to say, going outside to these associations that you talked about puts you in front of people that you may not have met in different circumstances, and that alone could get you another job with the opportunity you want, because the organization you're in is not taking advantage of your talents and skills. That's really good.
Absolutely.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm. That's what helped me.
Yeah, and that next question. So you came up the corporate ranks in an unconventional way. You don't have a degree in the area that you were working in or at all, right? But you have made it to a vice president role in an organization. What did you learn along the way about yourself and the corporate environment and just career misconceptions?
Couple of things. I learned that I am not a corporate miss. And I'm okay with that. But along with that comes the knowledge that I am not everyone's cup of tea, nor do I try to conform to that either. Mm-hmm. I am a firm believer in education is the one thing that people cannot take away from you. Mm-hmm. So when I decide that I want to learn something, I put my all into it, because that intellectual data is mine. And then how I choose to then share that, and whether it's speaking, whether it's on a round table, whether it's with my team, you're able to still provide the same levels of education that you have to every single thing that you do. I am a firm believer in strategy and analytics and how you can't really go wrong if you have both. Not everybody is as giddy and as excited about analytics or talking about strategy or operational artwork is, as far as I'm concerned, it's operational architecture and design. Mm-hmm. Those things excite me. And so I utilize that wherever I can. For other individuals, it becomes a struggle because sometimes they can't get out of their own way.
Ugh.
With all of the degrees, sometimes they forget that the most important thing that you will ever garner throughout your career is your network. Your network is your net worth. Your network is your net worth. Your network is your net worth. And so as you are continuing to grow, always remember the individuals that you meet on your way up. You treat them with kindness. You treat them with respect. Even if they can't find it in their way to be respectful to you, how you exit is just as important as how you enter. And so I always really tell people, when you are meeting individuals, try your best to create some level of connection with that individual. You never know when it's going to be beneficial on both sides.
Absolutely.
Next project, next role, a next investor, you just never know who you're meeting.
That's true. My husband has done a fabulous job. I told him to write a book about this because he has the ability to do exactly what you said. He came up the ranks. He was always respectful. He was always like very like wanting to be the person that did the best job. He knew the bosses. He was a like a model employee. And so when in the 90s, when everybody was laying off, like the first bubble, every company was laying off, he would be laid off on a Friday. His last day may have been on a Friday, but he had been courted by past bosses. And he would be laid off on Friday and have and start to work at a new job on Monday. That happened to him twice because he keeps those bridges. He keeps them intact. And what you're saying is basically the same thing. You know, on your way up, remember who helped you get there and then reach back and pull up other people. When it's your time of need, some of those same people will be the ones that will help you back up and get you back on your feet. So that's absolutely right. You're absolutely right, girl. You're just good. You're good at it.
That's
right. Is there anything else you want to share before I let you go? Because again, I don't want anybody to miss this awesome because you are, I'm in awe by you because you have really done amazing things in your career. You are so smart and I love talking to you. I think I've been blessed by just the information that you share. You know, I'm always trying to be, girl, when we getting together? Because I want more of it, you know, I want more of it. And hopefully you guys listening have gotten so much from this because we want to stand on business in this season of our lives. And you don't have to have all the accolades and the pieces of paper to do it. You are awesome. You are enough all by yourself. Janice has climb the corporate ladder. She is working with youth and mentoring people. She is using her skill set to make the world better. And you can do the same thing. So don't discount yourself. Don't let people on your job, the office politics to get you down. Janice has given you amazing tools and techniques and tips to help you overcome some of those things. So if you don't remember what she said, just rewind, okay? Replay. Because you gave us some pearls. Thank you so much, Janice, for being on the show. I really appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you, Andrea. It's been a pleasure as always, anytime.
All right. Well, I'm going to take you up on that because I'm sure there's going to be another topic that I need you to cover for the peoples. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to the CEO Mindset Podcast. Remember, this podcast is all about constantly evolving and being open to failing forward. We know that when we fail forward, we get that much closer to our success. On this season, we are empowering, encouraging, and educating you to stand on business and show up as your excellent self. Until next time, guys, thank you.